Now, tie all that into what we've got going on with not only Ukraine, but now the conflict that we've got between Israel and Gaza, which I just spent almost an hour talking about as well, because I have my own thoughts on all of that also. But give us your thoughts on not only that situation, but how that may affect things worldwide.
Can I get your 60-second version of the conflict of Israel and Gaza?
If you're on Gaza's side, you're a Jew-hating racist, and I have no use for you.
Okay, so I'll tell you.
I can give it in 10 seconds or less.
Oh well, I just got it. Thank you very much, and I couldn't agree with you more. And I think I'm going to surprise you with something I'm going to say right now.
All right.
Surprise some of your listeners, and this is how I said I'm actually connected to this. So I am a fifth generation American on my dad's side.
Okay.
Five generations, born and raised in New York over the last 100+ years. I'm married with children. My oldest son was in Columbia University until about a week ago, and he is an IDF reserve soldier in the Israeli Defense Forces.
Okay. Okay.
He was called up to the Army about a week ago. He packed his bags. He left the United States, and he's currently in Israel serving in the Israeli Defense Forces.
We'll be praying for him, Nathan.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're
so
very welcome.
Very, very, very close to home.
Yes.
I appreciate the sentiment. And I couldn't agree with you more. This, what's happened there in the last 10 days or so, I think speaks for itself.
I agree.
And all I can say is that this is a true battle of light over darkness.
That's right.
And good
agree.
Versus evil.
Agree.
And we need to eradicate the evil in the world.
Agree.
I
said a week ago, and I don't know if I'm overstepping my bounds in saying this, but I'll say it again because I said it on air last week. I'm not in charge of Israel. Probably a good thing, because if I were, I would have carpet bombed the entire stretch of the Gaza Strip and wiped it off the planet, and I'd have sent dozers in afterwards to scrape all that crap into the sea and start it over.
Well, it's a very complicated situation, for sure.
I know, and that's why I'm not in charge, Nathan.
Yeah, but I hear you, and believe me, there's a lot of people who are emotionally outraged by what they saw and what happened.
By the way, here's my point in saying all that. I might as well say this while we're at it as well, since everybody heard me say this last week. My point with that is, Nathan, the nation of Israel, for thousands of years now, has been dealing with this same situation. It's not going to change if we cave in too early, which I'm afraid they'll end up doing because they've done it numerous times over and over and over again, and they've got to stop doing that.
Yeah, unfortunately, I agree with you wholeheartedly. Unfortunately, that in and of itself is also very, very complicated.
Yeah, the world pressures and everything else that's out there, and I get all of that, although... And by the way, I talked about this on the National Crawford Roundtable. We have a podcast we play as a corporation every Wednesday night, and it plays all over, of course, because it's a podcast we put on terrestrial radio as well. But we talked a little bit about this today, Nathan. I also think that, you know, you can say Hamas is dumb, you can say they're smart, you can say whatever you want to. Bottom line is, I do think they looked at this as being a very vulnerable time for Israel, and the fact that the U.S. is very vulnerable because we've given up so much to the Ukrainians right now, which, by the way, I don't agree with either, but we have funded that war over there. We have sent munitions. We are so behind as a country itself right now that it's going to be very, very hard for us to go in. If there was a complete, utter conflict where with what I just said happened, I'm not sure as a nation we have the ability to back up Israel, and I think Hamas knew that.
I think that's a very interesting observation, John. I'll say the following. When the forces of good in the world and the forces of positivity in the world and the forces of producing in the world are united and they are an unbreakable force, that is just a fact. In the history of this world, the thousands of years of documented history that we have, if you look back consistently, when the good forces of the world were united, there's nothing that we can't achieve.
True.
And you're right that when the forces of evil perceive weakness on the other side, they exploit that weakness for their benefit.
Yes, they do.
And I agree with you that in this instance, Hamas even looked at Israel and said, you know, there's a rift going on there. There was the whole judicial overhaul
right.
that was going on
That's
in Israel
right.
at the time. And there was a rift there. They look at the other parts of the West right now, especially the U.S., and they say, you know, there's this intense rift between the right and the left,
yep,
and other parts of the world, and they exploit that.
That's
right.
They
exploit it on a spiritual level, and they exploit it physically.
Yep.
We need to reunite to beat the hell out of the forces of evil
Amen.
In this world again,
Amen.
Once and for all.
Amen. I could not agree more with you, Nathan. Partly why I want to have you on, not just because we're car guys and we kind of speak the same language on the UAW thing, but I had a gut feeling you had the same sentiment on all of this or same thoughts on all of this that I did. And I guess maybe for my own selfishness, I needed some backup.
Well, you got the backup for sure. But at the same time, we have to be smart.
I agree.
And we need
okay, so along those lines, what do you think Israel does next? Because they were talking about going in and infiltrating Gaza door to door, doing all of that. That hasn't happened yet. What's your thoughts?
Right. So good question. And I must preface the answer by saying I am definitely not an army strategist.
Me neither.
Or a military.
Me neither. These are just two car guys talking it out.
Exactly. So, but I will tell you one thing, because I am a student of the state of Israel over the last 75 some odd years post-Holocaust.
Okay.
And know something about the wars and the battles that they fought over the years. So I will say the following. Historically, Israel's advantage over its enemies was never brute force.
Right.
It was always a strategic advantage. In some cases, in 1967, it was a preemptive strike on the Egyptian Air Force.
Right.
In 1973, in the Yom Kippur War, they were attacked first. They quickly came back again, but it wasn't brute force. It was just a brilliant military strategy. Even over the last 20 years or 30 years, when you talk about the invasion of Lebanon and then them pulling themselves out of Lebanon and other things that Israel has accomplished over the last three quarters of a century, there was always things that shocked the world in a positive way.
Right.
I hope and think that today's Israeli defense forces will hearken back to that again and really surprise their enemy, in this case Hamas, potentially Hezbollah, Iran, and so on,
right,
with the type of smarts that they're capable of. So I think,
really quick, Nathan, I believe they can do that, because one other thing I think that you didn't say, and you're free to say this, by the way, on this program, I also believe those events that you talked about very much had the hand of God upon them, and
Absolutely.
Why they were as successful as they were. Can that happen again? God's not dead.
By the way, I could not agree with you more. You literally hit the nail on the head. Let me point to that for a quick second. It is absolutely true. It is absolutely true that every major war, Israel was at risk of complete annihilation.
That's right.
And literally, God Almighty,
that's right,
performed,
that's
unbelievable
right,
miracles for them.
That's right.
Look, there's God Almighty, and then we need to do things. So in conjunction
with their
plans, he aided them through and showed them open miracles many, many, many times.
That's
and we
right.
need that here as well.
Yes,
we
amen,
well.
Amen. And I've been to Israel. I've heard some of those miracles you speak of during those wars. I've talked to some of those individuals one-on-one. It's bone-chilling to listen to the things that God did during those. Can he do it again? He absolutely can, Nathan.
If we are united,
yep,
and the cause is a good cause,
agree,
which it definitely is, there's things God wants to see us do. You know, he wants us to be charitable. He wants us to do,
yes,
you know, good things for our neighbors. He wants us to behave as good human beings. And so long as we do all of the things that the Bible says, the Torah says, the Old Testament, the New Testament, as long as we're doing the things that we've been instructed to do,
amen,
God is with us.
Amen.
He's with us regardless.
Amen.
But his miracles are with us.
Amen.
When we go that extra mile. So I expect interesting things to happen. I don't think this is going to be, you know, recapturing Mosul or you know, the Russian Ukraine grind.
Right, I agree.
Face to face, you know, in the mud kind of battles. I expect this to be hopefully much smarter than that, and God protect the soldiers of Israel.
Amen. And your son.
And my son between them, so that you know, they can get the job done, not only for Israel but for the rest of the world.
Yep.
And set an example of good over evil.
I can't add anything to that. Nathan Heck, thank you so much for joining us, CEO and founder of Cario. That's C-A-R-I-O. We'll have you back on and talk more about that as that keeps developing. And as you can tell, Nathan, we speak the same language. You're welcome anytime, sir.
Thank you, my friend. Have a great evening.
You're very welcome, Nathan. Appreciate you very much. Have a great evening as well. This is John Rush from Rush to Reason and Drive Radio. Thank you so much for listening. Check out more of our podcasts at rushtoreason.com or drive-radio.com.